Our scripture reading today comes from 1 Samuel chapter 17. Is it going to come up on the screen? There we go. David said to Saul, "Let no one's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you are just a boy, and he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and whenever a lion or bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I went after it and struck it down, rescuing the lamb from its mouth. And if it turned against me, I would catch it by the jaw, strike it down, and kill it. Your servant has killed both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, since he has defied the armies of the living God." David said, "The Lord, who saved me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, will save me from the hand of this Philistine." So Saul said to David, "Go, and may the Lord be with you." Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a bronze helmet on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. David strapped Saul's sword over the armor, and he tried in vain to walk, for he was not used to them. Then David said to Saul, "I cannot walk with these, for I am not used to them." So David removed them. Then he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the wadi and put them in his shepherd's bag in the pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. The Philistine came on and drew near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. The Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the field." But David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with spear and sword and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This very day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I will give the dead bodies of the Philistine army this very day to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the earth, so that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that this assembly may know that the Lord does not save by sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand." When the Philistine drew near to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in his bag, took out a stone, slung it, and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. I had never seen anyone so big in my life. The man was huge, a giant. And all the men in our army were cowering before him, just taking his taunting, his insults, his threats. It was embarrassing and infuriating at the same time. When the Philistines came around, my older brothers went to fight, as they should have. I was left behind to tend the sheep with my dad, me not being old enough to fight and him being too old to fight. One day, my dad came and told me I was to take the provisions to the other boys. So I gathered up the bread and cheese dad was sending, and I went to find my brothers. When I got there, I was amazed to see how the Israelites were cowering before that giant Philistine. I could tell by looking at him that he wanted to wipe out our men, but was merely restraining himself so that he could continue to torture them with his words. In talking with my brothers, I learned that he had done this every morning for 40 days. I can't even imagine. Our men looked terrified. They no more wanted to go up against this monster than he wanted to stand around doing nothing. It seemed like their fear of this man had simply paralyzed them, leaving them incapable of seeing any way to deal with this giant. On the one hand, I couldn't blame them. With his bronze armor and sword and spear, he shined like the sun. He looked even bigger than he actually was. And looking at him and his weapons, I could see that it was those weapons, they were superior to ours. They were more advanced, more intricate, and probably would inflict more pain. When he asked for one man to come fight him and then threatened to feed that man to the birds of the air, well, it was intimidating. There was no doubt that he would actually do that. But then he insulted our God by insulting us. Uncircumcised Philistine filth. That's what he was. Why didn't our men go up against him for insulting our God? I never really intended to be the one who went up against him. I just started asking questions. I wanted to know what Saul planned to do about the situation. I was interested in the situation, sure. I was mad that this scum, how he was treating my people. But I didn't ask the question so that I could fight him. I'm just a boy. My brother Eliab, he got mad at me. He thought I was just there to see the battle, but that's not what it was about. I was curious, of course, but I wasn't trying to cause trouble. But all this was a lot more exciting than tending the sheep with my dad. People began to tell the king that I was asking questions. And then he began asking questions about me. He sent for me. And when he did, I knew in that moment that God wanted me to be the one to fight this giant. The other men, they were too afraid. They were ruled by their fear. But I knew I had the Spirit of God resting upon me. I knew what I had to do. When I got to Saul, I told him not to be afraid anymore. Looking back on that, I guess it was a little strange that I started talking to the king before he even addressed me. I didn't know that was rude to do. I was anxious about meeting this current king, knowing that God had anointed me to be the next king. Let no one's heart fail. I will go and fight this Philistine, I said. Trust in God, what can I say? Understandably, Saul was rather doubtful when he looked at me. You're just a kid, and this giant has been fighting since he was your age. What his tone of voice said, though, was even though I highly doubt you can defeat this giant, please go for our people. At least I can say that someone went, and when we are defeated, it'll look better for me if someone goes and fights, even if it is you. I could tell that Saul really doubted me, so I shared about my abilities of fighting wildlife when I was in the line of duty protecting my sheep. I had killed lions and bears, and I planned to take care of this Philistine filth in the same way. Of course, in reality, God is the one who protected me from those wild animals, and I knew that God would protect me from this giant. It was strange to receive the blessing of this king when I had been anointed by God to be a king as well, but I received his blessing to go and fight his battle, knowing that God had chosen me. And so it also seemed fitting that God would send me instead of Saul. Saul gave me his armor. Wow, that was ridiculous. It was too big. I mean, can you imagine what I looked like wearing the armor of this tall man when I was only 12? The helmet, it kept sliding forward, and then I tried to walk. I'm surprised I didn't just tip over from the weight of it or fall straight down like a sack of flour. I'm a strong boy, almost a man now, but I haven't trained to wear that armor. Clearly, Saul didn't hear what I was saying about trusting God when I was out with the wild animals with the slingshot and rocks. So I took off that armor and I went to find my weapons of choice. I got my trusty slingshot and I got my rocks from the wadi, and they were nice and smooth. I won't lie, I was scared, but I trust in God. And just like when I was keeping watch over the sheep and a bear or a lion would come and steal a lamb, I trusted God to watch over me. I'd never killed a man before, just animals. Of course, I'm not positive Goliath was a man, Philistine filth. As I walked up to Goliath with my staff and my pouch of rocks, I prayed to God for the courage and the strength and the protection that I needed. When I took my place before this giant, he laughed at me and asked if I thought he was a dog, that I was just throwing sticks at him. Don't look at me like that. He called himself a dog. I didn't say it. I don't insult people like that. Thankfully, he was looking at my staff, the stick he thought I would throw, and not at the slingshot and the bag of rocks that I had. Goliath laughed at my youthfulness, but his mocking did not diminish my desire to stand up for my God. This giant had insulted my people and my God. Someone had to stop him. And obviously no one else was going to. He told me what he would do to me after he killed me. He was going to give my flesh to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the field. Too bad for him. He didn't know God was on my side. God's words filled my mouth and gave me the courage to talk back to the giant. You come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This very day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head, and I will give the dead bodies of the Philistine army this very day to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the earth, so that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not save by sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. When those words came out of my mouth, I knew for certain the battle was mine. I would defeat this uncircumcised, non-believing giant. I would take him down as surely as I could destroy a lion coming after my sheep. I ran to the battle line, taking out a stone as I ran. I put the stone in my slingshot. I slung it around a few times to get the right momentum, and then I released the sling, and the rock sailed through the air up to his head. He just stood there, transfixed by the sight of that rock coming right towards him. Well, he stood there until it hit him in the forehead, and then he went down like a huge sack of rocks. Once he went down, I ran to grab his own sword to finish the job that needed to be done. I cut off the head of this giant and I held it up for all the people to see, so that they would know who had won. The Israel army went crazy, cheering, yelling. The Philistines just stood there, filled with shock but only for a moment. Then they took off running the other way. Not gonna lie, it was one of the greatest moments of my life. The thing is, even as I enjoyed the celebration, I knew I wasn't responsible for what had happened. God was the one who made it happen. I stood there facing death, but God is the one who gave me the strength, the courage, and the words to stand toe-to-toe at the battle line. God is the one who was glorified that day, not me. As I got older and faced more battles, I realized that Goliath was just the first of many giants I would face. But every time I succeeded, every time I did something right, it was God who made it happen. When I went up against King Saul to earn my rightful place as God's anointed, it was God who pulled me through those fateful moments. I know you must understand what I mean. We all face giants in life. They come by different names: betrayal, sickness, death, tragedy. But we also know that God is the one who gives us the strength to stand at that battle line and throw the rocks that will knock down the giants. The odds were not in my favor that day. By all logical conclusion, I should have been the one who was fed to the birds of the air. There have been and there will be days when all logical conclusions say that the giants will take you down. But when you lean on God, you will find the strength to stand, the courage to fight back, and the desire to keep anyone from attacking our God. Why do we do this? Because our God is bigger than any giant. Our God is bigger than any insult, bigger than any armor, bigger than betrayal, sickness, death, and tragedy. Our God fills us with his Holy Spirit and anoints us as his people. He doesn't fight with the traditional weapons of sword and spear. Our God fights with justice and mercy. Those filthy Philistines, they didn't bother us again for quite a while. They understood that God protects God's people, that God gets involved in our everyday lives, and that God will always, always triumph. Thanks be to God. Amen. This morning, as we sing our final song, you have the opportunity to come forward and to pray. If you have something that you need to pray about, maybe there's a giant in your life that you need to overcome, know that you're welcome to come forward and I will pray with you. And now let us all go to the Lord in prayer. Almighty God, too often when we see the giants in our lives and do not remember that you stand with us, we are intimidated and fearful. We allow the giants to rule our hearts and our minds. Give us strength like David, the strength to know that you will be with us always, the strength to know that with you, we are bigger than the giants. With you, no matter how small we feel, you are more. Your Holy Spirit abides with us, giving us the words, the understanding, and the power to overcome the obstacles of life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.